Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You, Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, June 3rd, 2020, and we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 159, the third paragraph down. Today's readers are Lois P. reading the 12 steps, Reggie O. reading the 12 traditions. Reading the text are Shelley E., Elaine B., and Leslie M. The reference numbers for yesterday and this morning's meeting are as follows. For yesterday, 10 a.m. meeting, June 3rd, the number is 14,733 or 14733. And for this morning, 7 a.m. meeting, June 3rd, the reference number is 14,742 or 14742. Today, our newcomer greeter will be Nadia B., and announcements will be given by Robin P. after we close the meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Add a vision for you, Big Book Study. Our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lois P. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P. from New York, a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to food addicts and compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for allowing me to share on these steps that I call Highway to God. Thank you very much. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, Lois P. And I will now ask Reggie O. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks again, Kathy. This is Reggie O., very gratefully recovered here in the Los Angeles area. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Reggie. Oh, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 159, paragraph 3, and I will ask Shelley E. to get us started. Shelley?
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, fellow travelers. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater from Texas. A year and 6 months later, these three had succeeded with seven more. Seeing much of each other, scarce an evening passed that someone's home did not shelter a little gathering of men and women, happy in their release and constantly thinking how they might present their discovery to some newcomer. In addition to these casual get-togethers, it became customary to set apart one night a week for a meeting to be attended by anyone or everyone interested in a spiritual way of life. Aside from fellowship and sociability, the prime object was to provide a time and a place where new people might bring their problems. I'm Shelley E., compulsive overeater from Texas. And when I signed up to read, you know, of course, I was a nervous wreck. And then I was trying to count ahead starting last week. Now what paragraph am I going to get? And then I saw the paragraph I possibly was going to get, and I thought, there is nothing in that paragraph. What am I going to talk about? But after looking at it again, I thought, isn't it amazing? Every paragraph in this book is important, there for a reason, and has something in particular to say. And when I read this paragraph, the things that show up for me is home, shelter, newcomer, and the prime objective. And I remember my first meeting at my home group. I had no idea what OA was about. And, of course, I was a little scared going in the door. But my home meeting, and maybe everybody does, I've only been recovered a couple of years. My home meeting, when you walk in the door as a newcomer, they drop everything and they read the doctor's opinion. Doesn't matter what was planned for that day. And then everybody shares. And at the time, I didn't realize, you know, what a big deal that was. But it, when I heard the doctor's opinion, I just felt like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. I'm home now. And I find myself sometimes when we have another newcomer come in the door, I think, oh God, here we go. We're going to have to go back to read the, you know, doctor's opinion and tell our story. These people have got to be so tired of hearing my story. But it's so important that I remember that newcomer's never heard these stories. And that's what lets them feel like they're home and that we're offering them shelter. So I really feel grateful that I got this paragraph and have been given this chance to share. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Shelley E. Okay, before I take names, I want to remind you that we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that we can hear others who might not have shared recently. So with that in mind, who would like to share this morning? Anyone want to share?
Can I ask what paragraph we read again? What page?
It's page 159, the third paragraph down that begins a year and 6 months later.
Penny L.C. Penny. From Washington.
Okay, Penny L.C.
Debbie F.
Debbie S.
Patty T.
Maddie T.
Patty.
Patty. Oh, T. Patty. I'm sorry, Patty.
That's okay.
Thank Patty T. Who else?
Elaine B.
Elaine B.
Katie.
Who is that? Who came after Elaine? Okay, I have Penny L.C., Debbie S., Patty T., and Elaine B. Is there one more?
Melanie C.
Okay, Melanie C., thank you. Let's begin with this list. Penny L.C., please go ahead.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I appreciate this paragraph for giving me the purpose of meetings, you know, a chance for everyone to be, for everyone to attend with an interest in a spiritual way of life. And I'll tell you, though, quite honestly, that is not what I thought I was signing up for when I first came to these rooms. You know, just like many of us, I wanted to lose the weight. I wanted to be able to eat everything I wanted and not have to have a consequence for it. And to come and to learn what it is about this disease and how it affects me and how it is simply a loss of reliance on something that is never going to be reliable, and that was the food. And instead, learning that there's a way to rely on a source that is constant and ever-present for me and can see me through whatever life brings. And so in that way, grateful that we have the meetings, that we get to come together in this fellowship to be able to connect with each other, to know we're not alone, to feel the camaraderie, the community, and especially in these days of strife and sheltering in, these meetings are just a real godsend. And I'm also grateful that on this particular meeting and other meetings that I attend, the focus is on the solution and not on the problem. This mentions that people might bring their problems. And that may be helpful because when you are able to share it lessens the burden. But I have found that that's best in the one-on-one meetings, the phone calls to each other. And grateful that the overall meeting is focused on recovery, focused on the message from this book. And appreciate this meeting, and thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Penny, Elsie. Debbie S., please share with us.
Thank you. This is Debbie F. in California. Thank you for everyone being on the meeting and everyone's service. And this one paragraph, it just takes me back to when I first came in the rooms, just over 9 years ago, and how the rooms were a place that I could bring my problems, which was food. And in reflection, I went to meetings and it wasn't about the food, but it was about the food. So it's kind of, I don't know if that makes any sense, but for me, that was my biggest problem in life. Like, what am I doing with the food? How do I fix this thing? And the literature, we would just read literature. And one of the meetings I would go to was Big Book, and I didn't really understand it at that time. I couldn't make the connection between, alcohol and food. And that was okay because that's what it was. And I still had a place to go. I like that it's like that provide a time and a place where people can go, new people can go. And right now what comes to me is like, for me, being 9 years old, not to take that for granted, that meetings will always be there, because I don't, who knows what will happen after all of this formats, but face-to-face, who knows? But to take that for granted, that a way will always be there. And that I like the sentence too, constantly thinking how they might present their discovery to some newcomer. And again, it's just a good reminder for me to like, what is my purpose in going to the meeting? Like, I have some experience, strength, and hope now. What is it that I'm there doing at the meeting? Is it to, am I thinking about the newcomer? Am I thinking about myself? And early on, one of my favorite meetings, I liked it because their format said in there, I can't remember the exact time, but it was like, 1 minute on the problem, 2 minutes on the solution, or maybe it was 2 minutes on the problem, but 1 minute on the solution. And that just reminded me that like, oh yeah, it's not just about the mess. It's about how this program has helped me, can help me, and has helped others solve their problem, one day at a time. Like, life is going to still go on, but I don't have to use food to numb out and abuse myself and make my problems worse. So thank you all for being here so consistently and being part of my recovery. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie S. Patty T., please share with us.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much, Kathy. And wow, this paragraph is so amazing to me. I'm Patty T. I'm recovering in Southern California. And, that little bit there that says happy in their release and constantly thinking how they might present their discovery to some newcomer, that right there is in 18 months, these three people, the initial three, had a transformation in their lives that had taken them out of being locked up in a sanitarium because they couldn't stop drinking or being violent, and not just them, but how their disease had isolated their entire families with their shameful secret. Okay, and I have that in common with them. That was the same thing with me. I learned how to open up my home to people in this program. I learned how to be honest about what was going on with me in this program. I had been in therapy for 25 years and I couldn't even be honest with therapists. Like that freedom, oh my gosh. And talk about happy in their release. It's a wonderful word, but it can't even touch what that happy feels like. And then, you know, to give other people a place. You know, all of a sudden they're filled with this altruistic attitude. How can we help other people? And so they decide to start having these meetings where anyone and everyone can come and share their problem. Their problem being, you know, the Walking Dead. The problem being drowning in alcohol, in disease, and not having a solution. How can we open up this practice that we're doing to show people there is a solution? And that is just so amazing. You know, this is back in the 1930s, and this is 2020, and I'm here because of these people in Akron. And I am so grateful, and I hope you all have a wonderful day. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty T. Elaine B., please share with us.
Thank you much for your service, Kathy, and everybody here on the line making this meeting possible. So this is Elaine B. I am recovered in Massachusetts and grateful for A Vision for You, which is a place where the door is open 6 days a week for people who might be interested in a spiritual solution where they can come with all of their problems. And at first I'm like, all of their problems? And it's like, yeah, because it wasn't so much about what I was eating as it was what was eating me. And so at first I thought it was the food. That's the issue. You know, I'm carrying this extra weight, and I just can't manage it. But if I lose weight, then I know that everything's going to be fine. It's all going to be good. There may be people listening on the line that feel that exact same way. But this program is a program of recovery that's based on a spiritual progress process. And that when our spiritual malady is straightened out, then is addressed, then we straighten out mentally and physically. And so physically, yeah, I have these cravings for this food. I want this food. And once I start eating certain foods, I can't stop. I need more and more. But I also have this obsession of the mind that tells me, you know, if you just eat this or you just eat that, everything's going to be okay. If you eat enough of it, that's going to be okay. So all of my disturbances, all of my disquiet, all of my fear within my body registered as, I'm hungry. Food is a solution. Let's drive to a drive-thru. Let's drive to a convenience store. Let's go get an ice cream. And everything will be better. And it will. You know, for a while, it would be better for a while. And then it would be better for a minute. And then be better for a second. And then it wouldn't be better. So what I really needed was a spiritual solution that would help me solve all my problems. And so these people were inviting them into a spiritual community where that's exactly what they could find, the root of their problem, and a solution, not just to their problem for drinking, for our problem for eating, but for all of their problems today. And so to have a warm, welcoming environment where we can be honest and vulnerable and be ourselves, where we can learn a way of living that I wish they learned with reading, writing, and arithmetic, and recovery, this design for a living that really works. So I'm so grateful for Open Doors and these fellowship, Open Doors in Big Book Studies, and Open Doors in OA that make the recovery and the growth of these types of communities possible. And I pass.
Thanks so much, Elaine B. Melanie C., please share with us.
Good morning again, Kathy K. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Oregon this morning on the farm. Grateful for that. Oh, I'm adding the numbers up here, y'all. They had 3, and then they had 7 more. That's 10 people, I'm thinking, in the room. 10 people that have come together, agree together. There has been something certainly miraculous that's happened. And boy, don't we want to keep this alive. I've been there. I came into these rooms in 1989 and and saw something 17 years later, so as my disease was progressing in the room, 17 years later, that was just like that. It had depth and weight to it. It had something that was just absolutely electric to it. And I didn't want to leave it. So it had the same effect that I'm reading here. I wanted to be there around them as often as I could. I believed in it. Something changed. Something snapped within me that I wanted to do exactly what these people were into and doing. Ten people. I think the room that I was looking at had considerably more than that, but it had been considerable more years, you know, as this particular phenomenon of addressing disease and addiction was taking hold in this world. And very, very grateful for that. But as I continue to read, it tells me a lot about what has been solid, some of the basic foundations that are necessary for me in this recovery if I'm going to continue with a treatment for the disease, which is the twisted thinking, which is 100% in my brain 100% of the time. It's seeing each other and connecting. That's one. Connecting. That's something it's talking about here. That's what's working here. It's what I call the trilogy triage. Admitted to God, to myself, and another human being. That's the ticket. That's the threesomes, the three musketeers that have this thing together. So I put that in place. That's what's shown to me throughout this book. The other piece is that my purpose here, once there's this grounding and this, and my steps have gone through and that sort of thing, I'm no longer to be I'll say this kind of like this, kind of a taker. My role now is to reach out, to give away, to pass on. That's the practice that I see happening here. And what does that mean? That the primary purpose for our fellowship is to be available in all sense for the still suffering. The way we look at this meeting at A Vision for You, the way that I go about being in addiction, that each time I take a phone call, how can I be of service here for the still suffering? And perhaps that person's even been recovered, but how can I be? That gets me out of my self-seeking self and makes me continually reach out to be a part of something here. And that's part of what we're learning. A package deal, connection, the trilogy triage, and the still suffering is my primary purpose. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Melanie C. Okay, I'd like to take some more names and a reminder that we are sharing every 3 days so as to make room for people who haven't shared in a while. Who else would like to share?
Matt S. with a question.
Matt S. with a question. Who else?
Michelle J.
Michelle J.
Ronnie B.
Ronnie B.
Terry S.
Terry S.
Kathy M.
Kathy M. Maybe one more we'll have time for? Okay, we'll stop there and see how it goes. Matt S., please share with us.
Thank you so much. This is Matt F. in Chicago. My question is, this paragraph, although it refers to newcomers, which clearly seems to imply alcoholics seeking to recover, doesn't otherwise refer to alcoholism, alcohol, a specific malady, and it does refer to a more general invitation. And so my question is, for anyone with knowledge of the history, to what extent did a broader invitation exists in the minds of the original AAs to open up the discussion to those who might not suffer from alcoholism, but might suffer just more generally from other things, but the same kind of shame-based malady that we do. I pass.
Thank you, Matt F. And if you really want to hear the answer to that, you can leave your name and number at the end. Or maybe some of the following sharers will speak to it. Okay, Michelle J., please share with us. Michelle J.?
I'm sorry, so is that an outside issue? So it can't be answered on the call?
Yeah, we don't do answering questions in this meeting, Matt.
I'm so sorry. Lost track of which meeting I was on.
Okay. That's the 9 a.m. in between recorded meetings.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, Michelle J. Michelle J., are you there?
Hi, sorry. This is Michelle J. from Nevada, recovered in Nevada. This is my first time sharing on the line, so I'm a little nervous. But today's topic definitely spoke to me. When I was at my bottom, first of all, I live in Reno, Nevada, which is just outside of where Burning Man occurs. And I have a cousin who just lives and breathes, and he is all about Burning Man 365 days a year. And I was at my bottom. I was absolutely lost. And I had confided in him about my food problems, knowing that he has similar problems. So he brought me along to Burning Man and told me that this is where I would feel home and I would be accepted. And so I went with him to Burning Man. And while I was there, it was kind of the common thing to say, welcome home, welcome home. And I knew that they were genuine, but I just didn't feel it. Every chance I got, I would sneak away with food or sneak away with alcohol. And I just wasn't connecting. And it was probably a week or two later that I came into my first OA meeting. And it was a very small meeting. I think there were only like maybe six of us. And I don't remember if there was a topic or anything, but as people were sharing, I was starting to feel more and more comfortable with opening up and telling my story. And so I did. I told my story of my problems with food, and somebody looked at me after my share and said, welcome home. And finally, I felt it. Finally, I felt connected to people who really got me. And during my share, somebody had started crying. And after the meeting, she came up to me and she's like, I'm so sorry I started crying during your share. It brought back so much pain and memory of where I was with the food. And I was like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Don't apologize. I finally feel like people get me, like I'm a part of something. So it was that first meeting that I knew that I was with my people. And then looking around, you know, as the fellowship, there were other meetings that were larger, and I could see that there was recovery. I had hope for the first time. So anyway, I'm just grateful for this program. I'm grateful for Vision, and thank you for your service in IPAC.
Thank you so much, Michelle J. Ronnie B., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. Ronnie B. in Missouri. I'm grateful to be on the line and listening to every other person who has shared some wisdom for me. As always, that's no big surprise, right? When I hear the word, even in our opening, welcome to OA, welcome home, we welcome you, things like that, that word welcome is so peaceful that it just goes through me, and that's just true. Because, you know, when I first came in, I was still doubting. I had a lot of doubts. I had doubts because in my own mind, a compulsive overeater was one thing. Just like when I was drinking and before I got in that program, being an alcoholic meant one thing. And, of course, those were the one thing that didn't apply to me, you know, because I cherry-picked, no pun intended on the food, but I cherry-picked what would suit me. So I was actually sponsoring someone in another 12-step program and happened to mention my obsession with food, and she had the gall to say, wow, I might have something that could work for you. And I was livid because I'm like, wait a minute, you just lost 100 pounds. I don't have 100 pounds to lose. Well, the truth is, during the course of 1 year, I would gain and lose 100 pounds like nobody's business. You know what I mean? Stuff, stuff, stuff. Lose, lose, lose. And then it started to dawn on me, other people, as I listened in the room, were compulsive overeaters, were bulimic, were anorexic, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, that's why I'm in denial. It's like I would gain 10 pounds 1 month, lose 10 pounds the next month, and then if I'd feel bad about that, I'd lose 20. And then I'd gain 30. So during the course of the year, I absolutely lost 100 pounds in a year. And you know, it's the beauty of sharing, because until I shared that out loud, I mean, I knew that that was happening, and I kind of said that during the years, but I didn't really take it in. And this time around, just listening to everyone else, I took it in. So for me, it doesn't matter how many, I'm in a lot of 12-step programs because my ism just kept hitting another area. As I took care of one area, another area popped up. So thank you for allowing me to be here, and thank you for welcoming me over the years, whether I was abstinent or not. And because of this vision meeting, these vision meetings, I have over 6 months abstinence back to back. I haven't had that in years. So thank you very much. I'm grateful to you. I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Ronnie B. Terry S., please share with us.
Hi, this is Terry S., recovered food addict in Bend, Oregon. Oh, I'm so glad to be on the line. I'm so grateful that each one of you are here. Thank you, everyone, for your service. As always, the big book, you know, I don't think there's a bad paragraph. But what really struck me at this one was they set apart one night a week for a meeting to be attended by anyone or everyone interested in a spiritual way of life. When I came into OA as a newcomer, I do remember it was a very snowy, cold Michigan winter evening, and I had to drive 45 minutes to get to a meeting. And I don't recall that a spiritual way of life was presented at all. It was what I remember was you had to get abstinent. You had to figure out what that was. For me, that was fairly easy because I lived on chocolate. So I knew I had to put the sugar and the junk food down. The rest of abstinence was very foggy for me. But there was a lot of emphasis on the emotional recovery. And I love hearing that in the early AAs, they got it. It's a spiritual way of life. It took me years in and out of program to figure that out. And now I see that everything, my abstinence, my emotional sobriety, and what I have of it, comes from the spiritual malady getting straightened out. That God hole inside of me that I'm desperately eating pounds of M&Ms trying to fill, which never does, but it's the spirituality of this program that is bringing about a level of recovery that I've never experienced. And really getting down and working these steps as they're laid out in the big book has brought me to my higher power. It's brought me even more firmly into relationships with people in the program and in my life. Whereas before, it was not superficial, but it was hard to get down to the causes and conditions and to be really honest with it. And so I'm very, very grateful that what I'm seeing happen in OA, especially on the Visions Big Book study, is we are really paying attention to that spiritual way of life, that this is the answer. Regardless of what you call your higher power, it doesn't matter what name or what belief you have, but it's that spiritual level that we are ramping up to, and I'm very, very grateful for that. So with that, I'll pass, and I look forward to, I've been enjoying the shares today. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry S. Kathy M., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Kathy M., recovering overeater in Detroit, Michigan. I just wanted to say how grateful I am for these live telephone meetings, because in this time of isolation and not having face-to-face meetings to go to, it's very easy to lose touch and lose track of the many, many people that are out there who can understand and help me through my addiction and my recovery. So I just wanted to say I appreciate everyone on the line and how much you all share and your honesty, and it brings me back to why I'm here and why I'm in the rooms, and just amazing. I can't express how thankful I am to have this meeting and to hear all of you sharing today. So thank you, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kathy. We have time for probably two shares, or perhaps three. Who would like to share?
Stacy J.
Dave D. Herb G, was it?
Dave D in Washington.
Oh, Dave D. I'm sorry, Dave. Okay. Stacy, Dave, and perhaps one more.
Mary Grace H.
Mary Grace H. Thank you, Mary Grace. Stacy, please share with us.
Thank you very much for your service. This is Stacy J., recovered food addict in Toronto, Canada. This paragraph made me very nostalgic for my early experiences in live meetings in OA. My first meeting only had about four or five people in it, and I'm not sure even the chair was abstinent, and I just had a sense of, like, these people are crazy. But then when I think someone's coughing on the line and I'm muted. I think another meeting was recommended to me, and I went to that meeting, and it was big. There had to have been 70 or 80 people, I think, and it was overwhelming. But the person who chaired laughed and was funny, and he told stories about his experience with food that, you know, he got, you know, he went to the doctor and was told he was on the verge of a heart attack, and on the way home, he went and got a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken, and that, you know, he was told he could have a fruit snack, and he went to McDonald's and got an apple pie and considered that a fruit snack. And I just was like, who are these people telling these secret stories of what they do with food, which sounds like what I do with food? And then the person who spoke in the meeting, super powerful, you know, a normal-sized woman just talking about all the crazy things she'd done with food. And at the end of the meeting, she looked right at me and she said, find someone who has what you want, by which she meant a sponsor. And I just thought, you know, I belong here. These people do what I do. And now, today, you know, the fellowship that they talk about in this paragraph, I have that fellowship. I'm fortunate to have numerous friends who are also in AA, although I'm not in AA. And, you know, I see my program friends socially all the time, and we have wonderful get-togethers, and I'm just so grateful for them in my life. They're a huge part of my happiness and emotional stability in these times, you know. So I relate to this paragraph completely, and it's so helpful to have friends that see the world from a spiritual point of view as I do, without trying to force any kind of religious, you know, beliefs on me. And we can all talk about food and we understand each other, and just so grateful for this program. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Stacy J. Dave D., please share with us.
Good morning, group. This is Dave. Dave D. from Port Townsend, Washington. I did want to address the question that was asked, and I would suggest that anybody who wants to know the core of what was going on in the early days to read Alcoholic Number 3. This is a story following Dr. Bob's in the Big Book. It's interesting that the groups that focus on the spirituality of our dilemma, that question, tend to grow and tend to have a lot of recovery because that's the core. The fellowship is just fine. We need the fellowship. We need to assimilate into it, but I think we need to also address the fact that it is a hole in the donut. You know, we've got to solve that problem, and we find it through spirituality. And I'm very grateful to be here with you this morning. This is Dave from Washington State.
Thanks very much, Dave D., for your share. Okay, Mary Grace H., you are going to be our last share today.
Hi, this is Mary Grace. I'm a compulsive overeater from Monterey, California. I just kind of want to thank everybody and also let people on the line know on June 1st I had 10 months of back-to-back abstinence and how good it feels. I think that I want to end on a positive note, but what made me a little bit sad about this story is that, you know, they had the 3 and then 7 more came, you know, in a short period of time. In the 10 months that I've been here in Monterey, I'm still the newcomer, and I'm wondering what are we not doing that's not attracting people to our meetings or people who stay. And I've got some numbers of some, you know, diabetes programs and nutrition programs. I've already given out some pamphlets to medical professionals in the area. You know, OA speaks to the medical profession. And I need to make those calls and say, you know, yes, you're starting these new groups. Would you, this program may not be for everyone, but it helped me, and to share my story with some of the professionals that are in town. I think, you know, yes, the one-on-one is great, but we got to get people in the door. And to have been around for 10 months and still be the newcomer, kind of scary. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Mary Grace H. And if someone has a brief burning desire, we could take one more. Anybody want to share? Okay.
PMM?
My name's Paul. I'll share.
Okay. Who is the first woman who came in?
Pam M.
Go ahead, Pam. And I'm sorry, that's all we'll have time for today. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Pam M. in upstate New York, and today I'm celebrating 100 days of abstinence. I'm so grateful. I was abstinent once before for over a year, and my abstinence wasn't entirely clean, and I was still playing with the food, and I have since cleaned it up again, And if it wasn't for those people, that first meeting, that hugged me and listened to me and tolerated my self-pity and my self-loathing and my all of my anger and shame, and they just held me in this like sacred container of love, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today, and I'm feeling really grateful. I have 3 sponsees now. I'm really living in 10, 11, and 12. And, you know, I was directed to Vision for You, so I do think it's really great that we are creating space for new people to share. Because when I first started with Vision, I heard a lot of the same voices and strong recovered voices, and they were so important. But I did feel like so scared to share because I felt like, you know, I was in my darkness. And now, but I was encouraged to share, and I want to encourage everyone that's new on the line to share, because it helps you to become one of us. We can't connect with you if you're sitting silent on the phone. And that doesn't mean you have to. You sit as silent as you want to for as long as you need to. But I do want to invite you to share. You don't have to be recovered to share on the line. It's great to hear from you, and it's wonderful to form a community. And you can also do service, and that's also another wonderful way to become a part of it. So thank you. I pass.
So much, Pam. Okay, we will now close our meeting today with the reading from the Big Book on page 164 and follow that with the Serenity Prayer. Elaine B., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Kathy. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. So see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.